I hope you enjoyed your weekend, and it's a joy to have you back as we head into the final week of the month of June. Were you away last week enjoying some vacation time early in the summer? If so, and for all who travel this summer, go and get the God Is podcast free. This is easily downloaded from this website, 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. Today we continue in the third chapter of the book of Matthew as we build upon our knowledge of who the living God is. Let me read for us Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John the Baptist permitted Jesus. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. In this text, we learn that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. Remarkably, by his perfect divine choice, God has decided to identify himself with you and me. And where in this passage do I see this identification? It is in three verses. We have already discussed the first two, and today I'll take us into the third one. But here they are by way of review. This identification of God with us is in verse 15. But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And it is in verse 16, after being baptized. And the identification is again found in verse 17. "Behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The identification of God with us is in verses 15, 16, and 17 of Matthew chapter 3. When we left off on Friday, we were talking about verse 16 when the Bible says, "after being baptized." And I was speaking with you about how the word baptized there means identification. And I quoted pastor and Bible commentator James Boyce. Well, I had to rush that a little bit, if you will recall, because I was running out of time. I really had to go, beating the commercial on the radio. Radio is like that, firm time limits. And so what I would like to do is to read it to you again. This is what James Boyce wrote, just to make sure you got it, and also said that we have a bit of review on a Monday. I agree with Dr. Boyce, as he writes, "In my opinion, the best way to understand Jesus' words is by understanding what I see as the primary significance of baptism. The idea of identification, which is what I think the word baptizo primarily means. In Jesus' baptism by John, Jesus identified himself with us in our humanity, thereby taking on himself the obligation to fulfill all righteousness, so that he might be a perfect Savior and substitute for us." And then James Boyce quotes another one of my favorite pastors as Boyce continues. I think Harry Ironside expresses the idea rightly when he says, "He who was to take the sinner's place came to be baptized of John, that he might thereby be identified with sinners for whom he was to lay down his life." That was Pastor Boyce quoting Pastor Ironside there at the end, and both gentlemen, I believe, are correct. So, inherent in baptism is identification. Why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized so that he could identify himself with us. Let me give a little pastoral encouragement to you who are listening to me right now, and have put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is, you are a Christian person. But for whatever reason, you have never entered the waters of baptism. Why have you not? Now, sometimes when pastors, ministers, spiritual leaders of various sorts ask that question, they do so with a little bit of an attitude. But I want you to know that I do not. In pastoral ministry in churches, I found that sometimes a Christian is hesitant to be baptized publicly for reasons that are complex. Let me give you an example. A great deal of pressure from family not to be baptized. When I was pastoring in Hong Kong, with the majority of the congregation being Chinese, this was a common struggle for young people in particular in our church. Take Jennifer as an example, not her real name. She was witnessed to faithfully by someone from our church, and thanks be to God, she expressed a real, genuine, deep faith in Christ. And when we pursued her about being baptized, she told us she was not ready to do so. We explained that biblically, as soon as one has faith in Jesus, one is baptized. In the Bible, there is no time lapse between being a Christian and being baptized. But our sister in Christ, Jennifer, resisted. And she declined the invitation for water baptism for a while. Eventually, she told the spiritual leaders, the elders, that she was hesitant to do so because her family did not want her to, thinking her public testimony that she was a Christ follower would bring shame on the family. Her parents, grandparents, her sister, were not necessarily opposed to her following Christ, but they just wanted her to keep it quiet for now. And so we continued to exercise patience and grace with Jennifer. Until one day she came to speak with me and said, if we do it on a Saturday instead of on a Sunday morning, and if I can give a testimony to my family with only those members of the church who want to come on Saturday coming, then can I be baptized? I quickly said, yes, of course. And sure enough, as we gathered that Saturday in the sanctuary, in the front row, sat Jennifer's grandparents, parents, sister, cousins, and many, many friends and colleagues from her work who were not Christians, some of whom had never even heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they listened attentively as in Cantonese Chinese, Jennifer stood before us all and gave her clear testimony of how God had invited her to himself and given her Christ. She accepted Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead for the total and complete forgiveness of her many sins. And now, out of obedience to Christ, she wanted to be baptized. Amazing! It was then my privilege as pastor to take Jennifer out into the water, a little pool there, and baptize her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Even telling this true story now makes me emotional. I feel such great joy in my spirit. There's nothing better than someone who repents of sin and turns to follow Christ and is then baptized. Oh, how sweet that is. Why am I telling you this? Sometimes Christians have complex reasons for why they resist immediate baptism following their faith in our Lord. We should be gracious and patient with these brothers and sisters. In time, all genuine Christ followers will desire baptism and will have the courage to publicly testify for the Lord in front of family and friends, as well as the church. However, I ask you today, if you're a Christian, then why have you not yet been baptized as Jesus was? Some people legitimately need time, but are you one of those? Or are you holding back because you're ashamed of Christ? Out of laziness? Out of sin? Now you say, well, I do not need to be baptized to go to heaven. True. That is right. The repentant thief on the cross next to Christ was never baptized, and he is in heaven, according to Jesus. Nevertheless, I want to encourage you today, go see your pastor and or spiritual leader. Find a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, evangelical church soon, and speak with the minister there about baptism. And do it. Jesus was baptized so that God could identify himself with you. And now by your baptism, you identify yourself in public with Jesus Christ. And this is the truth about baptism. Jesus was baptized so that God could identify himself with you. And now by your baptism, you identify yourself with God in Jesus Christ. And if you would like to speak to a pastor about baptism, write to me today. I'll be happy to interact with you about this. My email and mailing addresses will be given as we conclude. And it's never too late. Should you be elderly now and you're thinking, well, I regret it, but I missed my chance. Hold on now. That is not true. As long as you're breathing and you're a genuine Christian, you can be baptized. As I said last week, often there's confusion over what baptism is. For example, there are big differences between what Protestant evangelicals believe about baptism and what Roman Catholics believe about baptism. So if you are confused or have a question, you can also write to me today. I will respond. But I want now to get us going in this third verse in Matthew 3, in which we find the identification of God with us through the Lord Jesus. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This is one of these texts in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that, if not careful, can be passed over rather casually. You're reading along in Matthew and you're coming out of the birth of Christ narrative in chapter 2. You're kind of eager to get over to Matthew 4 because you scanned ahead and saw that in Matthew 4, Jesus gets tempted by the devil. And that seems interesting and practical to you. So you cruise through Matthew 3. It's this and that about John the Baptist, and then, yeah, Jesus is baptized, and so be it. This happens with a lot of Bible readers. But I really want to encourage you to stop here with me for a few days this week, because what we have here is crucial to the ministry of Christ and tells us something extraordinary about who God is and what God has done for us. We will get to the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Believe me, we will. But not before we invest ourselves in understanding Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. We are almost out of time, so I'll have to save my outline for these verses until tomorrow. But tonight I invite you to read this text for yourself, and if you already have done so, read it again and ask yourself, in these verses, how does God Almighty identify himself with us through Jesus? Matthew 3, 16 through 17. What does God Almighty do to identify himself with us through Jesus? And join me again tomorrow, for God is...